Hello, and welcome to Open Finance, the podcast that believes the future of financial services is open and brought to you by Finastra. I'm your host, Emily Nicole, technology editor at City AM. And today we are joined by Huy Nguyen Trieu, co-founder of the Centre for Finance, Technology and Entrepreneurship, and Shireen Benzayed, Finastra's Director of Innovation. In this episode, we'll be asking the age-old question of just who is responsible when AI goes wrong. Shireen, how far has AI proliferated across financial services? I mean, is it something that's ever truly going to be independent or at times even the real thing?
So it's really interesting to see how much we talk about AI today. And sometimes people just have in mind this image of killing robots and all the threat that it presents. The reality is actually quite different from what we hear in media. And if we look in particular into the financial services industry, what we see also is that even though we're talking a lot about AI and machine learning, majority of it is just simple statistics. And we have quite few real machine learning use cases, though we see a trend of increasing number of these real use cases. And we see more and more fintechs using AI and banks using AI in different areas. So to give you a couple of examples, if you look into the retail space, we would see a lot of chatbots and also some machine learning used to help consumers save money. We've been working with a fintech called Monoto that helped consumers do that. And you see the same thing coming in the corporate banking space, automating processes with machine learning, also helping fraud detection. And just to take another fintech example, we've been working with NetGuardian, which does that really well. And we've been working with them on different applications in the financial services space. So just to sum up, I think clearly there is a hype on AI and machine learning, but we do see some really interesting use cases. We see real benefits out of it, and we see more and more use cases coming as well.
I don't know if there's hype, actually, in the sense that there's a lot of things, but there's a lot of things that we don't see also. And when we talk about AI, I think the term AI in itself is very broad. And I like two definitions, actually, of AI, or the two ways of talking about it. The one which is used in Singapore by MAS, the regulator, where they talk about AIDA, which is artificial intelligence and data analytics, which is, I think, one good way of looking at it. Or the other one, which is taken by the head of compliance for UOB, the bank, and he talks about AAA for analytics, automation, and AI. And I think all of that is very, very linked, you know, the role of data and how we can leverage data through artificial intelligence. And if we look at, just in terms of numbers, the finance industry is the largest spender in artificial intelligence. So there's a lot happening there. And I think if we look at the applications, I would categorize two different types of applications. One, which is, let's call that, you know, incremental changes, you know, things that we already do today and we can do, you know, better, whether it's in customer service or whether it's in fraud analytics, you know, et cetera. And there's a lot there. But that's true that not all of that is AI. A lot is really around, you know, a better usage of technology, data, and some of that, you know, could be machine learning. Some of that could be, you know, much simpler. On the other hand, I think where I agree with you is that the real disruptive business models, things that totally change the way we do finance, it is just starting at the moment. We haven't really seen the full impact of that yet.
And so then on the subject of this episode, we're looking at when AI goes wrong. Do you think that AI-based systems are more vulnerable than those that don't have AI in them?
So that's a very, very interesting question, because when I read, you know, the topic, I was wondering, you know, what does it mean by, you know, go wrong? Because there are a lot of different ways of looking at it. And I think, you know, when we think about going wrong, there's first the question of, you know, unintended versus, you know, almost, you know, intended, you know, consequences. And at all levels, you know, from just the use of technology to the use of AI. And, you know, I was in capital markets before. I don't know if you remember, in 2012, there was a company called Knight Capital. And Knight Capital implemented a new algorithm, which suddenly, you know, started to send, you know, in 45 minutes, millions of orders. They lost $450 million in an hour, and they were sold after that. So the company in itself, you know, was sold. And so, of course, here it was, you know, unintended, you know, consequences of using technology, which is, you know, what we might be thinking of in terms of AI. But at the same time, I think, you know, one of the main challenges of AI is that what it does in a lot of cases is that it tries to replicate us, humans, with, you know, all the limitations that we have as humans. And so we talk a lot around biases, we talk a lot about discrimination, which, you know, of course, as humans, you know, we all have. And one of the biggest challenges for AI is that if I'm the sole person to program a computer, an algorithm, that algorithm will reflect on the way that I think. And if we scale it, you know, a million times, then it will have a lot of unintended consequences. And so I think because of that, the biggest difference between traditional computing and AI is really the fact that AI starts to replicate people, but at a much bigger scale. So all the challenges that we have, you know, all the biases that we have as humans, instead of being done on a granular basis, they're being replicated, you know, millions of times. So yeah, so they are definitely different. And we need to think of AI as part of, you know, this mix between rule-based, just doing things that we tell a computer to do, and a person which, you know, we can't really control.
And what do you think, Shin? Do you think businesses that have AI are more vulnerable to these kinds of things?
Yeah, actually, just to add on that, I think the AI or the machine learning in particular has the power to scale up some of the possibly worst aspects of our society by scaling up some of the bias that we can have, especially the unconscious ones. So I think it's really important to be careful about what we do with AI, and more particular what data we are using to train the AI, because generally that's where the problem comes from. And back to the question about what wrong means, I think that's a very important point. Wrong might be guessing that a cat is a dog instead of guessing it as a cat, which is just fun. But it can be much more serious if it's used, for example, by autonomous cars, or if it's used in the financial services industry to allow someone to have a loan or not, for example. Some of these decisions might be life-changing for people. So it's really important to be careful about what decisions we make, what decisions the machine is actually making, and what data is used to make these decisions.
So how do you think businesses can then in turn make sure that AI is developed in a responsible and accountable way?
So I think there are maybe three different points that we need to be really careful about to make sure that AI is developed in the right way, let's say. The first one is diversity, and that's the point that we just mentioned about some of the bias that we can have with machine learning. So diversity is not only about the people who develop the AI, but also about the data that we use. And there are a couple of initiatives there helping data scientists get access to a diverse set of data. That's the first point, and that's a really important point. The second point that is also really important is transparency, and that's basically being able to explain the model, being able at any point to audit the model and understand why did we get to this decision. Even though it can be really difficult in some cases, we have some techniques that allows us to understand which factors, which parameters has led to a specific decision by the machine learning. So that's really important. And this is very much linked to regulation as well. So diversity, transparency and regulation. And the third point is education. So I think it's really important for people to understand how machine learning works and to keep being skeptical about it and questioning it in some cases. And Hugh, you probably have a lot of things to say about that with the education program that you have.
Definitely. You mentioned regulation. I would start by regulation first, because finance is a very regulated industry for, of course, a lot of very, very good reasons. And after the financial crisis, of course, there was a lot of focus on regulating and supervising people. And what is at the core is really conduct, you know, the conduct of, you know, people, humans. And, you know, how do we make sure that, you know, people, you know, conduct themselves, you know, in the appropriate way? So I think, you know, that is something which is quite robust in finance, because we've had, you know, 10 years of going, you know, through this. There are, you know, some, you know, for example, the senior manager regime, you know, for people in banks, you know, where basically at the end of the day, the responsibility goes, you know, to the person who's at the top of the hierarchy, which I think, you know, makes sense. So there's a lot that we can learn in terms of applying that to AI, because the difference between AI and traditional computer science is that traditional computing was really about rule-based processes. So that's very easy. It's really about what we call model validation. So if my model works the first time, then the second time it should work in the same way. The issue of AI is that it works the first time. The second time it might give me very, very different results. And so this mix between model validation and conduct supervision is pretty much, you know, the field of AI, which is we're trying not to supervise or regulate computers which are starting to behave in a way which is closer to people. So I think there's a lot on the regulation thing to think of. The second part is really people. And people, and of course, you know, with my hat more on the training side, I think there are different stages, you know, for people to really understand what that means. That goes from what I would call awareness to understanding to application. for a lot of people, like, you know, for this kind of discussions, it's really at the level of awareness, really understanding, you know, what does AI change in the way that we do finance? And I'm not just talking about data scientists. I'm talking pretty much about everyone, whether, you know, people are part of the business or support function or technology or senior leaders. I think it's really important that people understand that the impact of what we're using today in terms of artificial intelligence, you know, can impact, you know, pretty much, you know, everyone. So I think, you know, the awareness side is really important, but it's not sufficient. I think the next part is really understanding. And when we talk about AI, you know, it can become, you know, quite complex when we talk about supervised learning versus unsupervised learning. You talked about data. Where does data come into play? Where does data, historical experience, you know, the way we've done things in the past, well, the computer will just do the same. Do we want the computer to do the same? Will the computer come with new conclusions? No, all of that, I think it's quite important that anybody understands this, because we can't really just stay at the surface and say, okay, that works and, you know, that's good, because we need to understand what is behind, as you mentioned, on the transparency side. So understanding is extremely important for, you know, I think for everyone, you know, in the industry. And I think the third part is really, who are the stakeholders? Now, who are the people who should be involved in these discussions? When we talk about AI, it usually starts with data scientists, with people on the technology side. But I always say, you know, AI is too important to be left to the data scientists, because it will have a lot of impact on a lot of people. So first, it's everybody in the financial institution. It's people on the regulatory side. But even further, it's people, you know, from society.
So then building on that, I mean, what do you think is the next major opportunity in banking and financial services as a whole for companies that are using artificial intelligence? What's our next frontier?
It's probably somehow related with data. We've been talking a lot about data, data availability, the fact that data can be the reason for bias and errors. And I'll take an example we're working on, where we see actually the availability of data have changed a lot with open banking. And if we take the example of Europe, PSD2, but open banking is a global trend. And we've actually seen the data made available to everyone through REST APIs. That's continuing as a trend today, with data being available for machine learning purposes. As you might know, REST APIs are good to access data, and that's really good in the industry, as banks have held this monopoly of data for a very long time. Now, for machine learning purposes, it's not enough. It's not sufficient to be able to access large amount of data that are necessary for machine learning. And there, one of the initiatives that we're working on is making data available through platform with the same type of access mechanism, the same type of control and consent management by banks sharing data with fintechs. And that's an initiative that we're working with Microsoft on. That's probably one of the examples of how access to data can accelerate the progress of machine learning.
And are there any interesting case studies that you've seen, Kui?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think the data really changes the way we do finance. I would say two things. The first one is, because we've seen machine learning being used mainly today in a lot of, you know, back office functions, whether it's no credit scoring or it's no fraud detection, it's compliance, etc. At the same time, we're starting to see quite a lot on customer service also. I would say, you know, if there was one which I think, you know, will be really big and I'm very hopeful about, is what I would call making finance accessible to everyone, which is not the case today, not because, you know, financial institutions don't want to do it, but because it's very expensive to provide personalized recommendation to everyone. So if you're very rich, you would have a private banker who can tell you this is not how you should manage your affairs, etc. But even if you ask me, I used to run a business at Citi for insurance and pension, but I have no idea of what I have in my pension, because it's not, you know, what I think on a day-to-day basis, although it's extremely important. So I don't have any personalized, you know, advice for that. And I think, you know, this is, you know, what AI and machine learning can do, which is for everyone, and we're all different, to receive personalized information on how to better conduct our financial affairs. So, and that is possible because data is much more accessible through open banking. So it's very easy, you know, to get a lot of information from all the different sources of, you know, finance that that you have. And at the same time, it is cost efficient, you know, to provide a different advice to you and to you and to me, for example. So I think that's one. And the second one also links to that is what I would call, you know, invisible finance in general. You know, making sure that, you know, finance is not just something which is different, which, you know, one day, you know, I have my finance hat and I take care of my pension and the next day I'm trying to buy a house. You know, all of that, you know, should be linked and making sure that, you know, all those financial decisions are part of our day-to-day affairs, basically.
And so then at the end of the day, when if AI does go wrong in that sense, we obviously discussed what wrong can mean, but if something does happen, who is the person or the entity that should be held responsible for that?
So at the end of the day, for me, it's always the person. So it has to be the person. And I think, you know, what we had, you know, with the SMR, which is the senior manager regime in banks, which really says, you know, at the end of the day, the people who are responsible are the people who drive the business. Mm-hmm. And with the idea that you can delegate tasks, but you cannot delegate responsibilities, which I think is a fair judgment. You know, if you run a business, if you run a, you know, a business line, a big department, you know, you should understand, you know, what's in your business. And I think that's the same, you know, for technology. If you use a lot of, you know, algorithms and machine learning and AI, of course, you don't need to go into the details, but you need to make sure that the people understand what they do. You need to make sure that you have the right governance, etc. So I think it's still the people. I don't think that AI really changes anything. It's still the people who will be responsible to making sure that what AI does is fair, is transparent, you know, provides, you know, a good, you know, service, you know, to society. So I think it's still the people. And, you know, for that, you know, to happen, then we need to make sure that, you know, all the different processes, governance, etc. are properly put in place.
Yeah, I think it's, at the end of the day, it's definitely the people. And that's why education is really important. It's a key component. The risk really is that we fall in a trap where we somehow follow the authority of the machine, if not understanding how the machine works. And there's a lot of experiments there showing how people can really go, how things can go wrong when you follow the authority. So somehow demystifying the authority of this AI machine is very important. And that would be the key for us avoiding
a Terminator situation. Great. Well, today we discussed how data transparency and education are the key things that we need to keep in mind when implementing AI in financial services, the utility of open banking, and really that at the heart of AI, people are the ones that are responsible for its actions. Thanks to Hui and Shireen for joining us today, and thanks to our listeners. To find out more or to find our other podcasts, you can visit us at finastra.com or join in the conversation with the hashtag OpenFinance on Twitter and follow us at FinastraFS.